We're turning to Acts chapter 12 today in our focus of our study of God's Word. Acts chapter 12. Let's hear the Word of God. Acts 12, verse 1. Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hand to vex certain of the church. And he killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. When Herod had brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door of the kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison. And he smote Peter on the side, and raised him up, saying, "Arise up quickly." And his chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said unto him, "Gird thyself, and bind on thy sandals." And so he did, and he saith unto him, "Cast thy garment about thee, and follow me." And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. When they were past the first and the second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth unto the city, which opened to them of his own accord. And they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, "Now I know of a surety that the Lord hath sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod, and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews." And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken, named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. And they said unto her, "Thou art mad." But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then said they, "It is his angel." But Peter continued knocking. And when they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. But he, beckoning unto them with the hand to hold their peace, declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, "Go show these things unto James and to the brethren." And he departed and went into another place. Now as soon as it was day, there was no small stir among the soldiers what was become of Peter. And when Herod had sought for him and found him not, he examined the keepers and commanded that they should be put to death. And he went down from Judea to Caesarea and there abode. Amen. We pray now that the Lord will give us help as we preach his precious word. Father God in heaven, we thank thee for the word of God. We thank thee, Lord, for this wonderful encouragement for God's people to pray. Lord, we need to pray. Lord, we need prayer. And yet many of us often go without prayer. We pray, Lord, that you'll help us to be diligent. Private prayer, public prayer, in believing prayer, asking great things of a great God and expecting those prayers to be answered. We thank you, Lord, through prayers we've been saved. Thank you, Lord, through prayers we've been reached, through prayers this church has been established. Thank you, Lord, through prayers many times we've been given victory over temptation. Through prayer, Lord, we've been led and guided. Through prayer, Lord, you've brought us into line with thyself. Oh God, we pray you'll give us a high view of prayer. And help us, Lord, to use it daily for the advancement of the kingdom of God and for the strengthening of our own souls. We pray, Lord, you bless the word of God here today. Empty us of self and sin. Fill me with thy spirit, I pray, Lord. Help me to be faithful to the word of God and to this congregation. May the voice of God be heard. And, O Lord, may the spirit of God apply the word of God as he doth see fit. Lord, we need thee today. We don't want to hear a lecture. We don't want to hear wisdom of man. We want a message from the Lord. Therefore, Lord, we come before thee. We say, Lord, come into this meeting. Bless us, we pray. Speak with a voice that wakes the dead. Make the people hear today. We ask for thy glory alone. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, we're on our seventh message of this series on the church. We thought about the promise to the church. I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Thought of problems in the church, Matthew 18, how to deal with them. Thought of preaching in the church. We thought of purity in the church. Thought of the privileges of the church. Then, last time, persecution against the church. And today we're coming to the prayer of the church. The prayer of the church. Whenever we come to Acts chapter 12, we see that the devil is at his work again. This time he's using Herod the king, and it says in verse number 1 that he stretched forth his hand to vex certain of the church. We should never, ever think that the devil is not interested in us. If we are living for the Lord, and we're seeking to be people of prayer, we're seeking to go on and to go through with God, Christ-like inner character, then you can be sure that the devil is interested in you. The word vex there, it means to injure, to harm, to hurt, to exasperate. It comes from a word which means worthless. And it's the idea that the devil is going to work against the church through killing key figures of it, that the people are going to feel demoralized, exasperated, and it's worthless. There's no point going on. There's no point pursuing this. It's too difficult. It's too hard. We'll just go back to the way we were living. Do you know that's sometimes the tactic of the devil against the believer? Sometimes difficulties come, and sometimes God's people do fall at those difficulties. Sometimes it is the attitude, it's too hard. It's too hard to do the right thing. It's too hard to walk the right road. It's too hard to make the godly choice. And then they fall away, and they do the wrong thing, and they backslide, and their heart gets cold. And then they wonder why there's no blessing, and they wonder why there's no assurance, and they wonder why there's no joy in their walk with God. Here we see the right way to deal with these times in our lives that would cause us to be hurt, to be harmed, to be exasperated, to be injured. We find that it is the way of prayer. Now what we see here is a person who hated the Lord. It says in verse 2, and he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. That doesn't necessarily mean he literally killed him, but it does mean he gave the order for him to be killed. Such is the hatred against God that he sought to kill one of his servants. And then we read some chilling words in verse number 3. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. That chills me when I read it. There was an ungodly man, and he did something that was very wicked. Did something that was abominable in the sight of God. But you know what? The people around said, well done, that's brilliant. You show them. And because of the praise of man, he was carried along. He thought, I'll go further. I'll make people like me more. I'll get more praise. And here's a man who sinned against God, desiring the applause of man. I'll do what I want, and people can just accept it. Can I say to you, there's maybe someone here in this meeting, and that's the way you've been living your life. I'll do what I want. I'll fight against God. Oh, I've got my friends, and I've got the people who pat me in the back and tell me I'm cool, tell me I'm awesome, tell me I'm their best friend, and they're with me in my sin, in my wickedness, and in my immorality. And they'll encourage me, and they'll push me to go further and further and further. And you're living a life of rebellion and sin and wickedness, and it's against God, and you love the praise of man, and you love the praise of your sinful friends, but you're living against God. Let me tell you this, God can cut you off. Sinner, God can cut you off today. You can go too far. Look what it says at the end of this chapter. Verse number 21. And upon a set day, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat upon his throne, and made an oration unto them. And the people gave a shout, saying, It is the voice of a God and not of man. And immediately the angel of the Lord smote him, because he gave not God the glory, and he was eaten of worms and gave up the ghost immediately. It is sin, robbing God of his glory. And friend, I tell you today, those of you who are in your sin, you're robbing God of his glory, because man was created to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. Man was created to have a relationship with God. Man was created to declare the glory of God in his life. And as you rob God of his glory, God can immediately cut you off and take you out of this world. It's not okay for you to live as you want against God. There are consequences. There's a judgment to face. When we come to see this man who's so wicked acting out against the church, thank God the church makes the right decision. And you know what they do? They pray. They pray. They don't write to the authorities because they know that the authorities will probably side with the king. They pray to God. And I want you to notice just five simple things this morning about their prayer. The first thing is this: there was a church who was engaged in prayer. Look at verse number 5. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer. If you have a pen or a pencil, I would encourage you to underline those two words: but prayer. Prayer was going to make a difference in this situation. Prayer was going to make a complete change in this scenario. God's people did what they ought to do at all times. They prayed. And this made the difference for this man, Peter. It made the difference in the church. It made the difference even in the very land. The church was engaged in prayer. When I think about this church engaged in prayer, I think about the fact it was a Christ-like activity. This is something that the Lord did. We find in Scripture, in the Gospels, that before it was yet day, he arose up and he went to pray. He prayed in the nighttime. He prayed during the day. He went to a solitary place to pray. And friend, I tell you, character is built in prayer. You can read all the books you want. You sing all the hymns you want. And those are good things to do. But I tell you, character is built in prayer. God changes us in prayer. E.M. Bounds wrote about prayer. Probably the most prolific book ever written on prayer outside Scripture. And he says this: prayer makes a godly man and puts within him the mind of Christ, the mind of humility, of self-surrender, of service, of pity, and of prayer. If we really pray, we will become more like God, or else we will quit praying. And I ask you this morning, Christian, are you becoming more like God, or have you quit praying? There are some Christians, and they have a problem with anger. You need to pray. And there are some Christians, and they have a problem coming to God's house twice on the Lord's day. You need to pray. And there are some Christians, and they love to gossip and bring people down with their lips and their words. You need to pray. There are some believers, and they watch things, and they listen to things that are ungodly from the pit of hell. You need to pray, because prayer makes a godly man. It puts within you the mind of Christ, the mind of humility. There are some Christians who are far too proud. You need to pray. Not only is it a Christ-like activity, but it is a commanded activity. You read through the epistles, and you will find that continually we're told to pray, praying always, abiding in prayer. Those words are teaching us in this command that churches are strengthened in prayer. And we thank God for the congregation we have here. But friend, we are only as strong as our prayer time. We're only as strong as our prayer meeting. The blessing of God will come when the fervor of God's people rises in the place of prayer. And you, Christian, can be a part of that. You can be one of the most vital works of this congregation when you pray. I trust you pray in private for this work, for the minister, for the elders of this church. I trust you pray in public. We need to, because it's a commanded activity. Have you been obedient to the command of God's word to pray? But my friend, it's also a necessary activity. Because churches cannot function in a biblical manner without prayer. Churches cannot function in a biblical manner without prayer. There's no point trying to go through the motion. There's no point putting on the performance. There's no point standing before a congregation if this is not backed in prayer. It's a waste of time. But I tell you, where prayer is, God is. His presence and His power. And I encourage you, dear child of God, get to the Lord in prayer. Get to the prayer meetings. E.M. Bounds also said this prayer should not be regarded as a duty which must be performed, but rather as a privilege to be enjoyed. A rare delight that always is revealing some new beauty. I tell you, see, when you pray to God, God will bless your heart. I know there have been times, especially when I was working full time, that I didn't really want to come to prayer meeting. But I came. Yes, with wrong spirit. Yes, with wrong attitude. But I know this, by the end of the time of prayer, I left with a different spirit. God blesses in the place of prayer. And therefore, the first thing we see here is the church who was engaged in prayer. Secondly, the one to whom they prayed. And this is very important. The one to whom they prayed. And it says here in verse 5, prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God. Unto God. As I think about that, I think about the truth that they went to the highest authority. They went to the highest authority. Now, they were under persecution from the king. There was an attack of the devil, but you know what? They didn't have to go to government, and they didn't have to go to royalty. They went to the highest authority they possibly could go to. They went to the King of Kings, and they went to the Lord of Lords. And praise God, He is in control of all things. Listen to this prayer that Hannah prays in 1 Samuel. My heart rejoiceth in the Lord. Mine horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies, because I rejoice in thy salvation. There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like unto our God. The Lord killeth and maketh alive. He bringeth down to the grave and bringeth up. The Lord maketh poor and maketh rich. He bringeth low and He lifteth up. He raiseth up the poor out of the dust, and lifteth up the beggar from the dunghill, to set them among princes, and to make them inherit the throne of His glory. He will keep the feet of His saints, and the wicked shall be silent in darkness, for by His strength shall no man prevail. Here Hannah realizes who God is. He's the one who's in control of all things. We're looking at a world today that's very wicked. We're looking at government that's in confusion. We're looking at people think the louder I shout, things will go my way. Friend, things will work out according to the purposes and the will of God. And what we have the privilege to do today is to come before God and bring our country before God, and bring our church before God, and bring ourselves before the Lord. Who is this one? The one with the highest authority. He is the omniscient one. He knows all things. It's never a surprise to God when we share something with Him in prayer. Remember on the road to Emmaus, the disciples were walking and they said they were troubled by the things that had happened in Jerusalem. And the Lord said, what things? He knew what things, but He wanted them to share with Him in prayer. And that's exactly what was happening here. They came before God, the head of the church. They came before God, the all-knowing one, who knew where Peter was. and they told the Lord all about the situation. Not only is the omniscient one, he is the omnipotent one. He's the all-powerful one. These men couldn't do anything. There were guards there. There were people set in the prison house. This man was in chains. There was an iron gate. There was no possibility of physically they would do anything to release him from prison. But we serve an omnipotent God, one who's able to do anything. And therefore, this is the one to whom they prayed. You see, whenever you come to the place of prayer, it's good for you to take some time in prayer to praise God for who he is. And in your heart and in your soul, to think upon your God and your Savior and worship him. Lord, I thank you, you're unchanging one. Thank you, Lord, you're the Holy One. Thank you, Lord, you're the giver of life. I thank you, Lord, you take sinners and you make them saints. Thank you, Lord, you're the one who's promised to put godly desires within my heart. Lord, you're the one who'll keep me until I get to glory. Lord, you're the one that no person can stand against and prosper, because thy will shall be done. Lift the Lord up in your prayer. Exalt him as you pray unto him. Think great thoughts of God, and then you'll ask great things of God. Thirdly, let's look at the content of their prayer. It says here, prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. The content of their prayer was this. James, the brother of John, had been murdered. And the Jewish people were in agreement with this, spurred on by the chief priests and the rabbis of that time, because they hated Christ, they hated Christianity, they put him to death, they wanted rid of him, and they certainly didn't want a reemergence of his teaching. And therefore, I believe that through the teaching of the chief priests and the rabbis saying, you know, this is the true way, this is Judaism, this is what we need to stick to, what God has given to us, don't listen to the Christians. And I believe that was taught at those times. Certainly the Jewish people were against the Christian church. And what we find here is this, that they were explaining to the Lord and sharing with the Lord, look, Lord, this has happened to us. Persecution, murder. Peter's now in prison. And the Lord, unless you step in, our brother's going to be murdered. We're going to lose one of our leaders. And I tell you this, it was a specific need. Praise God for specific prayers. I love it when I hear some dear brother or sister in the prayer meeting praying for their loved ones by name. There are people sitting in this congregation today, and I can think back to 10 years ago in a prayer meeting when people were praying for you by your name, often accompanied by tears and brokenness. And today you're sitting in this service saved by the grace of God. And that person knows that God has specifically answered their prayer because they prayed specifically. Yes, we can pray, Lord, bless us, and it's right to do so. But if there's a specific need, you need to pray about it. We have needs in our congregation. We need to pray about them. A friend, I encourage you to do so. You have needs in your personal life. You need to pray about them. There are needs in our land. We need to pray about them. Pray specifically. But not only that, it wasn't just a specific need. It was a pressing need. It was a pressing need. We don't know how long Peter was going to be in prison. For all we know, it could be the next morning the execution was going to take place. We don't know. But they knew this, God had to step in. God had to step in. It's a pressing need. Is there a pressing need in your life today? Is there a pressing need that keeps you awake at night and you're worried and you're anxious and you're concerned and you're grieved, and yet the Word of God tells us not to be anxious or to be careful for nothing, but in everything with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God that passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You see, if there's a need that's pressing in your life, child of God, you're a prayer away from the peace of God that passeth all understanding. It's not God's will for you to live in constant anxiety and fear with that just not in your stomach. It's God's desire and joy and delight to bestow upon you the peace of God that passeth understanding. But the pathway to peace is the pathway of prayer. Child of God, you need to pray. It was a specific need. It was a pressing need. But it was a constant need. Do you notice it said there, it was made without ceasing? They continually prayed. They continually prayed. And I thank God for those who come on a Sunday evening before the service, and I thank God for those who come on a Thursday night to the prayer meeting. But friend, we need prayer Monday through to Sunday, and then next week as well. And I encourage you, God's people who come into the services after a prayer meeting, especially tonight when you come to God's house to pray, whenever you come into the church building here and the service starts, I would encourage you to lift your heart in prayer. Throughout the service, just say, Lord, speak to the unsaved. Lord, help the preacher. Lord, bring a stillness. Lord, save in this meeting tonight. Keep praying. Keep praying. When do I need to stop praying? When can I take a break from praying? Whenever you enter into glory. But friend, until that day, there's something to pray for. There's a constant need. We've noticed the church engaged in prayer, the one to whom they prayed, the content of their prayer. Let's look at the result of their prayer. Well, first of all, we can say this, that the need was dealt with. Says there in verse number 6, and when Herod would have brought him forth, that same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise up quickly, and his chains fell off from his hand. What do we notice about this need? God dealt with this need. An angel, a messenger from heaven. God sent help. Not only that, God shone light. And the chains that held Peter fell off. You see, the need was met. And God often sends people or things to meet us at the point of our need. I remember whenever I was going or praying about going into Bible college, and one of the concerns really in my heart was, how am I going to be able to afford it? And how am I going to finance myself? Or I have to give up working, and how am I going to sustain myself through Bible college? And that really, I suppose, was one of the arguments I was putting up before the Lord, saying, Lord, I don't know if I can go, because how could I support myself? And I remember praying about that. And I came home from work one day, and there was a letter, and I opened it. And I had done, helped out at camps with CEF, Child Evangelism Fellowship, for 10 years. And not once in 10 years had any payment been made, and it hadn't needed to be made because it was a voluntary service. But that year, there was a little envelope, and I opened the envelope, and then it was a check for £100. And there was a little yellow sticky on it that said, thank you for your help this summer. This is for your future ministry. And there and then, standing in my bedroom, looking down at that check, the Lord was saying to me, I will meet your need. I'll provide what you need. And friend, maybe God has called you to do something. You think, well, I can't do that. No, you can't. But God will use you and equip you to do what he's called you to do. Maybe it's the fear of stepping out into the unknown. God not only calls, but he equips you. But you must ask. You must ask. And the need was dealt with. Praise God for those times we pray. I love that song we sometimes sing, The Answer's on the Way. This I know. Jesus said it, I believe it, and it's so. Our Heavenly Father knows our need before we pray, and we can rest assured the answer's on the way. Have you prayed? Not only was the need dealt with, but I want you to notice something. Their faith was strengthened. Well, how do I know that? Well, I know that their faith was strengthened because if you look down at verse number 24, the word of God grew and multiplied. The word of God grew and multiplied. In other words, they kept preaching. They preached with profit. They preached seeing results, and it multiplied. The believers were multiplied. The churches were multiplied. You see, God's work went on. They believed. Now, I have to say, it is almost humorous whenever you look at the fact that Peter came to the door. Rhoda was that excited to hear his voice at the door. And I said, "Peter's here, Peter's here." And they said, "You're mad. You're imagining things. Don't be so silly." And yet, that's what they were praying for. God answered the prayer, and they didn't believe that God had answered the prayer until they saw it with their own eyes. Do you know, in Scripture, we're told that we are to pray believing. They that come to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. We find in Scripture, whenever the Lord is teaching His disciples to pray, that they have to pray believing, faith in their prayer. The word believe in our English comes from two Old English words. Of course, the first word is be, and that means to be or to exist. And the second word is the word lifan, and it means as if it were done. Therefore, to believe means to accept something as though it were already done, already true, already accomplished. That's what it means. And we ought to come before the Lord believing that God not only can answer, that God will answer, and that as good as done, because it's the Lord. Tells in Scripture that while we are yet speaking, He will answer. And not only that, was their faith strengthened, the church was advanced. And we see the church going forward. And not only that, we see in verse 13, and there were at the church, that was in Antioch, chapter 13, verse 1, certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereto I have called them." And when they had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them, and they sent them away. The church was advancing. Friend, the needs in God's work are dealt with in prayer. And we can have a group of men sitting around discussing, what will we do, what will we do, what will we do? The answer is prayer. The church needs to be strengthened. It's not programs. It's not policies. It's not activities. It's prayer. The church needs to be advanced. It's prayer. We've seen the church engaged in prayer, the one to whom they prayed, the content of their prayer, and the result of their prayer. God moved. He turned around a hopeless situation. Humanly speaking, it was absolutely impossible. And whatever that situation is in your life, it's humanly speaking absolutely impossible. God still answers prayer. Finally, let's think about the promises about prayer. Look at Jeremiah and chapter 33, and with this, we're through. Jeremiah 33. And this is very interesting because we're in prison again. We're in prison again. Moreover, the word of the Lord came on to Jeremiah the second time, while he was yet shut up in the court of the prison, saying, "Thus saith the Lord, the maker thereof, the Lord that formed it to establish it, the Lord is his name. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." Three simple thoughts here as we bring our time to a close. Number one, God hears his children. Look what he said, "Call unto me." A friend today, that's what the Lord's saying to you. Dear Christian, call unto him. Lift your voice to him today. How long has it been since you talked with the Lord? How long has it been since you lifted your voice in public prayer? How long has it been since you've been to prayer meeting? The Lord says, call unto me. But not only does God hear his children, secondly, God answers his children. his children. Look what it says, call unto me and I will answer thee. One of the testimonies of the backslider is this, that they often feel distant from God. As if God isn't leading them or guiding them. And the reality is this, they are not talking to the Lord. They're not praying and asking for guidance. They're not asking God's opinion on anything. They're doing their own thing, and then they turn around and they say, well, I don't feel close to the Lord. Every believer has this wonderful privilege to walk well with God. And here's the secret, call unto him, and he will answer you. And here is a part I really love. It says, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. You know what this teaches me? This teaches me that God has a plan for me that I know nothing about. That the answer to my problem is most likely out of my mental capacity to understand. But God's going to show me the way. God's going to take me forward. He showed me a great thing and a mighty thing. And I don't know, I don't understand it, but I know God's going to answer and God's going to take me forward. As for God, his way is perfect. See, there are many people and they'll say, well, God told me to do this and God told me to do that. A friend, they do it and it wrecks the work of God. It hurts all their Christians. Can destroy their testimony. It wasn't that God told them to do it. It was that that person went and they told God they were doing it. But here's a way to approach God. It's not in pride saying, God, this is what I'm doing. I want you to bless it and rubber stamp it. That's sinfulness. That's wickedness. But the child of God and the church of Jesus Christ that wants to be blessed will come, leaving aside all preconceived ideas and notions, and into the presence of God and say, Lord, I'm coming unto you. And I need your help, and I need your strength, and I need your guidance, Lord, in this part of my life, in this part, and this is what's happening. And the Lord will answer them and will show them great and mighty things which they know not. And you know what? They will go forward in the will of God and they'll know the blessing of God. And friend, I don't know about you, but I want in my life to know the blessing of God. And it's not about how many services they attend. Is about how often I'm engaged in the place of prayer. Now, someone engaged in the place of prayer will want to be in God's house. And someone engaged in the place of prayer will want to do all they can for the Lord. But friend, if you are not in prayer, this is your first priority this morning. Dear child of God, call unto him. He will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which I know is not. Maybe there's someone here and you're not saved. Friend, you need to do the same thing. You need to call on the Lord, confessing your sin, confessing your need, praying that he'll deliver you. Don't be like Herod sitting there, I'll do my thing. Doesn't matter about God. Remember, immediately he was cut off. Praise God this morning for this promise. Call unto me and I will answer thee. Show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Let's close our eyes in prayer and seek the face of God. And we think of just the words, actually, of a saint of old. And he said, you know, I have been driven many times upon my knees by the overwhelming conviction that I had nowhere else to go. My own wisdom and that of all about me seemed insufficient for that day. May God give us that thought in our heart. Lord, I'm not sufficient for these things. Lord, I'm not able to face this day and serve thee and to live for thee and to honor thee on my own strength, but praise God, I can whenever thou art with me. Heavenly Father, we thank thee and we praise thee this morning for the privilege of bowing before thee in prayer. Lord, we've come into the presence of God. We approach the mercy seat. We say, Lord, we're nothing, but thou art everything. We say to you, Lord, this morning, we can do nothing to prosper the work of God, to build Christ-like character in our lives, to see our family and our friends one, to see our community change, to see our church prosper. We can do nothing on our own. But Lord, you can take every one of these things and you can work through us for thy glory. Lord, this morning I pray that you will put in the hearts of God's people a full surrender. And I pray in the members of this congregation, we thank you for them, Lord. We love them in Christ. We pray, Lord, you put upon their hearts a desire to pray. For, Lord, we know that when the tide of prayer rises, then so will the tide of blessing. Oh, God, I pray you take away all our things that are taking our prayer time and bring God's people to this place to pray. And then, Lord, we'll look for the hand of God to move in this congregation and in our family and in our communities and in our own lives. Lord, we want thy best. Therefore, we humble ourselves before thee. We cry, Lord, come and answer. Show us great and mighty things which we know not. Save us from our own thoughts. The foolishness of man's wisdom. And lead us through thy word and prayer. Thank you for your help today. May God be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen.